So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Day live from the Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wacker Drive. Anna DeVlantis here on WGN. All right, so that snow's on the way. We're going to keep you posted on everything to do with the snow here on the show, as it's a few hours out. But Demetrius Ivory's going to check in just a couple minutes here, let us know what's going on with that. It is going to affect the afternoon and evening commute, is what we're hearing. So he'll tell us when and where and all that stuff.
We're still due for a really good one, don't you think?
Hey, you know, I do think that, Steve. It's mid-February, right?
Yeah, time's running out.
Right? It's March is just around the corner, so we'll see. We'll see what we get here. And no big deal, but it will affect the commute, so he'll tell us all about that. But I got to get to this because it's Girl Scout cookie time, and yesterday on the show, I kind of proudly got on my soapbox and announced that I was not going to be doing all of the selling for my daughter, who's a first-time Girl Scout, and she was going to be doing some of the work, so this weekend we were going to sell them. And I wasn't going to do that pass it around at work, the cookie sheet thing.
No, you got to learn to sell on your own, to stand on your own two feet.
That's right, Steve.
Make your own marketing video, as I think you said.
Yeah. I did say, remember when I said that?
And
and you said what?
I said, I think that's what every first-year mom says.
You were so right. And it didn't even last that long, because I started looking at the forecast for the weekend and thinking, are we going to be going door to door on that? I don't really want to. I don't really think so. So I took some cookies and
So I'm setting up getting my cup of coffee this morning in the little kitchenette area, and I hear this rustle. I look over and someone is setting up a Girl Scout cookie stand.
Yes.
Guilty. Totally guilty.
I love the touch of the jar that we put the money in.
I put the jar there with $5 on it.
And honor system.
The last person I wanted to see when I did this was Steve Bertrand. Who bought the first box?
Aww.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because, you know, you didn't last 16 hours.
I literally was going to go in there. I only brought about 15 boxes, and I thought, well, I'll get rid of a few because, you know, I'm not going to last this long doing this door-to-door thing or whatever we decide we're going to do. And then, boom, there's Steve Bertrand standing there. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just setting up a few boxes here, Steve. But you did.
And she said, you're the last person I wanted to see today, which I actually hear a lot, but not that early in the day.
You do not.
No. Are we going to see you give out boxes for Valentine's Day?
Whatever's left over, maybe I'll do that. I might just open them up and say, here you go. Let's share them because they are good. Let's face it. And you bought what again, Steve?
I bought the thin mints because I like the peanut butter sandwich ones, but no one else does. Are they called Do-Si-Dos?
Yes, they are. They're called Do-Si-Dos.
And but you didn't have those for offer.
Didn't have those up. Yeah, I just had the Samoas, which super popular.
Samoas are my favorite.
And then the thin mints. Are they trefoils? I don't know how to say that. That's the other one. And then did I have another one? I think that might have been it. S'mores.
Mm-hmm. I like thin mints crumbled over ice cream. It's very good.
So good.
Use it as an ice cream topping.
So many ways to eat the thin mint. Yesterday on the show, we brought you the story of the Girl Scouts selling the cookies outside the marijuana dispensary in Andersonville.
Very smart.
Yeah, it was a smart marketing decision. They sold 230 boxes in 4 hours. $5 a box. That's what, around $1,200 in cookies in 4 hours. Huge success. Huge success for them. So that might be inspiring others to try to stake out the dispensary's popular place to go. And it's funny, and you guys both track business. Business sites were picking this up as a great sort of marketing story about where to put your business and how to find your customers. And these kids are being hailed as like Supergirl entrepreneurs.
We would love to see a photo of you and Gabby in front of a dispensary.
Yeah, freezing my buns off, which is what would happen this weekend. But I just lessened the load a little bit by putting a few into the break room, kind of defying what I said I was going to do. And there you go. It's been very successful. Thank you to everyone here who has done that. Did I guilt everyone enough?
Go
to the break room right now. The Girl Scouts need your help, and we do too. So thank you to everyone who helped Gabby.
Joe Romano walked all the way down to the bodega in the basement to get change for $20. He's
he bought the Thin Mints, too. Yeah. He was into the Thin Mints, and he says he's going to bring them home. He's not sharing them with anyone, which I thought was kind of selfish, but, you know. I'll share some this week. I'll share some on Friday.
We're one sleeve down here, but there's still a sleeve left.
There is. There are. Yeah. There's Girl Scout cookies to be had, and if you see a Girl Scout and you see one at the supermarket this weekend, buy a box of Girl Scouts for them. You know, it's a lesson, and they do need to learn about the pitch. I mean, is anybody with me other than mocking me? Isn't that an important part of it?
One of the skills that they're learning. They learn a lot of skills in Girl Scouts. Do you get a badge if you sell so many Girl Scout cookies?
I don't know about that. I wonder.
You should get something.
Should. But I think there is a lesson to learn about the pitch and being asked, you know, to kind of sell something. They make videos now. They do digital sales. Mm-hmm. I think this might be the first year for that, if not the second. But they, you know, they make their video pitch and then you can forward it and email it.
But even approaching someone and talking with them, greeting with them, the manners that it takes to introduce yourself to someone that you don't know, all of that is
skills, life
important.
Skills.
I think it's the equivalent of making parents write and make their kids write thank you notes. This will be good for you, and it's just torture.
I had to write thank you notes. It was a good thing.
For the Girl Scout cookies?
Well,
for everything.
For everything.
You got a thank you note after someone bought Girl Scout cookies? Steve, you've heard of this?
No. I'm just saying, you know, parents say, write a thank you note to your grandma or to your aunt. That'll be good for you.
It's like, saves me some time, right?
Knock on the door of a stranger asking to buy stuff from you. It's a good lesson.
I had the door-to-door thing. I don't know. I think that, there are ways to do it, but I still think the pitch and the whole, you know, salesmanship thing. There is a lesson there. I'm not sure if we're going to get it this year, but there is one there. Thank you again to everyone who bought the Girl Scout cookies. Turning to the weather, and that is, you know, it's going to be a bit of an issue here this afternoon, this evening. The snow is coming, and they're saying it's going to affect the afternoon, evening commute. Coming in just a couple hours here. I think they've amended the when piece of that. So we're going to check in with Channel 9's Demetrius Ivory just very quickly here, get the very latest from the WGN-TV Weather Center coming up here on the show. Anna DeVlantis here, 118, here on WGN, and we were talking about the snow that's heading our way in just a couple hours, so let's get right over to Demetrius Ivory, a busy day for him in the WGN-TV Weather Center, and find out what's going on. About what time are they saying now, Demetrius? Are we looking for the snow?
We got the snow making its way into the city about 4 p.m., so ahead of the rush hour commute. So that is going to cause the problems that always comes with that. Not heavy snow on the ground then, but snow flying for your rush hour commute.
Okay. And then where are the heaviest?
The heaviest totals for the entire event are going to be across northwest Indiana because they're going to get a lake effect push. For everyone else, we expect a system snow to move through. That's 1 to 3 inches tonight. And then there's going to be that lake effect push, which could affect or will affect Lake Porter and LaPorte counties into northwest Indiana tomorrow. So I think there are going to be some areas in those counties that could get upwards of 4 to 6 inches of snow. But for the lion's share of the viewing area or listening area, 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight.
Okay, and it starts as kind of rain, kind of slick, right?
No, it should be snow. No, should start off as, off our temperature's in the mid-30s, but, you know, typically when you have snow blowing over really dry air, it drops the temperatures enough where you get all snow in the column. So we expect for it to be all snow, which makes it easier to forecast.
And it makes it easier to drive in, I think.
Just, I think so, too.
Not as slippery. So then the other part of piece of this is on the back end. We get the cold. The cold's arriving.
Yeah, there's an Arctic front, and this thing is screaming through the upper Midwest. And what, you know, on one side of the front, we have temperatures in the 30s. On another side, temperatures have dropped down into single digits. So that's what's going to come through our area tonight. So first, the low pressure system or the storm brings snow. And then the cold front brings cold air. It all kind of works out tonight. We'll see temperatures falling tonight. As a matter of fact, I think we'll be around 31 by midnight. Early tomorrow morning, we'll be in the low 20s. And during the day tomorrow, we'll be in the teens. So be prepared for a dramatic drop that should take us all the way down to 1, maybe 0, maybe minus 1 by early Friday morning.
Okay, some stuff to watch out for. I know you're busy, Demetrius. Thanks for checking in with
us. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to talk to you. We are now going to talk to someone else who it's a pleasure to always talk to, and that is Ryan Burrow of ABC News and WGN Radio News. And a lot, this news about Jussie Smollett and the charges or the indictment that was handed down yesterday afternoon, I think, you know, it struck a lot of people by, it struck me by surprise, I'll say that. And what does it all mean, Ryan? What are we looking at here?
You know, it's interesting because it almost becomes a bit of the side story, the actual Jussie Smollett indictment, because there was so much tied into it with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office and Kim Fox. And of course, she's running for re-election. Mm-hmm. So the instantaneous reaction we got from not only Kim Fox's campaign, but also Jussie Smollett's attorneys were, hey, this is political. This is all political. Why would this come out 35 days before the primary election? So today, as we kind of advance this story a little bit, of course, we're all obviously waiting anxiously for Jussie to make that appearance in court on February 24th. But until then, we get to talk politics about it. And Kim Fox was, I don't want to say hounded, but was met by reporters today as she walked into an event that she was taking part in and asked specifically about, you know, what her take was on the indictment, whether she thinks it was political. And she says, look, there was an indictment when we had the case. We dropped the charges, but we had an indictment, too. We thought there was enough there to charge him. And then the question was asked, well, do you like that he was charged? And what do you think about what Dan Webb said, the special prosecutor, in these comments about your office not really providing evidence showing that there were similar cases in which charges were dropped? And
that was the thing that stung the most, I think, when the reporters, you know, the good reporters like you who do all this great work, and you dig in and you say, well, wait a minute, how can you say that this is how everyone's treated? When you go and look at the actual data of people who've staged fake crimes, and you go and look and you say, well, no, it's not quite true. They haven't been treated like this. They didn't get this emergency hearing, and they didn't get the time served, as you already did your community service over the weekend prior to your court appearance, and that counts. And then you don't have an admission of guilt, and there's nothing for it. It wasn't how everybody is treated. And I think that calls into question. It's not his celebrity. It did bother us as Chicagoans when he went off on our city in that way, and we created this more bad headlines than we already, we've got enough of those. We don't need people like him coming and doing it. But I think that was the piece of it that stung the most, is that we felt, hey, this isn't how everybody's treated.
Yeah. You know, and when she was asked point blank about that, she basically said, look, we've been providing, and we will continue to provide any information that the special prosecutor needs, and just kind of, you know, walked away with that.
Special prosecutor said that, so this indictment is about the staged hate crime that we know so much about now, but that it's not only just that he made false police reports, according to the special prosecutor, but the extensive nature
Four separate times. So six charges on four separate times. Remember, we had the 16 count indictment last year where those charges were dropped. This is six. So interesting. And, you know, the Osundaro brothers, that's kind of an interesting aspect to all of this as well, because they were a big part of the first indictment, and it sounds as though they were a big part of this second version. And Jussie Smollett's attorney say, well, wait a minute here. The people you called to testify before this grand jury are the same people who are suing our client. Remember, we've got all these civil lawsuits flying back and forth, too. It's so hard to explain this story, because you've got what's going on here with the indictment. You've got all of these civil lawsuits, whether it be the city suing Jussie Smollett, Jussie Smollett, you know, it's counter-suing the city. You've got the Osundaro brothers involved in a lawsuit as well with this. And then, of course, floating above all of this is the politics of it and the upcoming primary. And, of course, you've got Conway and Moore and Fioretti chiming in on where, you know, this all takes, you know, the office, and, you know, some of the mistakes that were made. So, I mean, there are just so many different dynamics. It's a Rubik's Cube.
It is. It feels like a Rubik's Cube. So many twists and turns over this period of time. So much interest in this case, as you point out, for so many reasons. I wonder about the whole thing. The political charge, saying it's political. Haven't we known that the special prosecutor, Dan Webb, has been investigating this now? And we knew that he was going for five months.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say, well, maybe he should have waited until after the primary. I don't know that that changes anything. He didn't come out and say anything about Kim Fox herself in terms of any potential issues there.
Well, And he did say that just because we are prosecuting Jussie Smollett does not mean that the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, you know, we are going to prosecute them or they're off the hook. He left that open, and that's why Kim Fox's campaign came out and called it James Comey-like timing, referring to the, you know, possible Hillary Clinton investigation ahead of the 2016 election.
This isn't about her, though. It's about him. And so I just don't accept that. I just feel as if, look, there could be more announcements to come, and maybe they will be after the election. That's what you point out. The Osandero brothers, they've been a little silent. It feels like they have so much to say about this, and maybe that's on advice of attorneys, and I know their attorney has spoken for them. I know they say now that they are willing to testify. They don't harbor a ton of ill will against Jussie Smollett personally, but they do against his attorneys, who said very disparaging things about them, pointed big fingers in their direction as if Jussie has nothing to do with it, and these two somehow are guilty of so many different offenses. They don't like that piece of it.
Well, and it's interesting too, because we don't know, are they ever going to be charged with anything? I mean, if they took part in this staged attack, which is what the prosecutors are saying, you know, I mean, unless they got some kind of immunity, and we've always been told they've been given no immunity, but obviously they've been cooperating in all of this. So where does their piece fit in? And obviously it kind of ticks off the Smollett people that they haven't been charged.
Yeah, there's more to come on this one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
Year two.
Year two. Here we go. There's also more to come here on the show, and we're going to be right back with more in just a moment. We were talking about Girl Scout cookies and how the parents do all the work these days, and Steve was making fun of me because I said I wasn't going to do all the work, and then I kind of started to do all the work. 708, in my day, we trudged around pulling a wagon full of Girl Scout cookies. The back in my day stories. That's what I want her to have one day. But and we are not going to sell in front of a dispensary. I did not mean to say that. That's not our plan. We may not go door to door either. I was trying to unload some here at work and then figure out a way to kind of sell some in the neighborhood. That's our plan. We've got more coming up here on WGN, including the amazing story of a Romeoville boy who just won a national award in technology. And he happens to have special needs, but what he's doing is amazing. His family, is here to tell his remarkable story. Next. This is a great story. Listen to this. A 7-year-old Romeoville boy just won a national award for technology. What he's doing with it. And what's different about Jeremiah Morris is that he was almost completely nonverbal. That's not the case anymore. He was diagnosed with autism, just giving you the backstory here, about a year and a half. And then now he's 7, and he won this award for this incredible stuff he's doing. His mom is here, Mikkel Morris, along with his speech pathologist, an amazing woman, Kristen Anderson. Thank you. Thanks for being here, guys. And Jeremiah's here, too.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, this is such a wonderful situation. And there's Jeremiah. He's here, too. And as you can tell, he's no longer.
Yeah.
Mikkel, tell us about your journey here. Tell us what brought you to this point. Because I saw this and I thought, how amazing just bringing into the spotlight autism and the possibilities for kids living with it, the strides, how far we've come. What's your story?
And
Jeremiah's story.
Oh, well, it started when he was maybe 2, where he was, you know, kind of still speaking like a normal 2-year-old would, and his speech started to go backwards, and it turned into just him saying one word here or there, or, you know, attempting to. His vocabulary was very short. When he was 3, we started to see the signs of autism, but he wasn't officially diagnosed until he was 4. And even at that time, you know, I remember his previous speech therapist, you know, she would give us videos where we were just trying to get him to say things like ta-da. And we were, you know, we were excited about things like that.
So you had not even heard him say words like mommy.
I was not able to hear him say mommy until he was about somewhere around 4 or 5 years old.
Incredible. So, Kristen, I want to bring you into this conversation.
Sure.
Because you've worked with Jeremiah now, as a speech pathologist, and seen his great strides and where he's come from where he was. And how has that been to witness all of that?
I mean, that's really what the job is all about. Mm-hmm. So when we first got him in kindergarten, you know, he came in and completely nonverbal, just very upset all the time from the lack of communication. And then we were on a field trip.
Because it's frustrating.
Exactly. Kids. If we can't communicate the same way you and I, if we could not communicate, would be incredibly frustrating. We were on a field trip and I had up the same software he's using on his tablet now. And he took it and he started walking around the food court and asking people questions on it. And from that point, we were like, okay, this kid needs one.
Let's talk about
making huge strides.
I know. It's remarkable. Let's talk about that device that's related to the award, because he won this award for his use of technology. It's called an augmentative alternative device, AAD for short, and it helps break through the barriers to communication. How long has this been around?
This technology has been around, but it is getting more popular now. So we see it a lot for different kids with various different disabilities, and also adults, that anyone really that has trouble communicating verbally like you or I could benefit from technology like this.
So you're using it all the time in your work at the school with other kids.
Correct.
Dealing with special needs. Miguel, how about for you at Miguel at home? How has this changed life for you?
Going back to before he had the device, we noticed that he would take his iPad and actually go to YouTube videos and try to find, like, he can memorize videos and movies so well. And I believe that that's part of, you know, his autism. He has a very keen memory. So he would go to certain videos to say what it was that he wanted to say. He would use those videos to express how he was hungry or how he was feeling. And I think that that just ties into the fact that he does so well with the communication device.
Jeremiah likes Lion King, I've heard. Jeremiah, you like Lion King. And look, he's perked it up right away. He says, I know Lion King. You're a big fan of Lion King?
Hey, look.
Say Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
How great.
No, buffet, go. Pisa. Sabista.
Sambamba.
Tete. Sabista.
What do they say? Hakuna Matata?
Kodisi. Hakuna Matata.
So he memorizes lines and he's attracted to music, you said, as well. It's really helped him with his development.
It has, especially movies. Like, he will script movies all day long, all day.
Are you a big movie fan yourself?
I am, but he has me beat, definitely.
It's so cool. So then he got the National Council for Exceptional Children is one of the groups that gave him the award. And you just went somewhere for this, didn't you, Mikhail?
Yeah, we just got back from
Portland, Oregon, where they had the national convention, and he received his award. But, I mean, it was thanks to Kristen. She nominated him for the Illinois Award.
Uh-huh.
She did a video.
And he won that.
Yes, he won that. He got recognized by the Romeoville School District. And next thing we know, we had an email that was just saying, hey, you guys, you know, we are going to give him the award for the national.
The use of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
What is the award for? Because this got on your radar first.
Sure.
And what did you find out about it?
It started with the Illinois Council for Exceptional Children. And there's 7 different areas you can nominate kiddos in. So I nominated him for technology. Just with how well he's done the device, all the progress he's made. And from there, they take all of the state-level winners and apply them for the national. So I was hopeful, but had no idea that we were going to be winning the national. So we were all ecstatic when we found out.
Yeah, I bet. And you work in this field, it can be very rewarding to see progress. And you talk about how things have moved forward. How many years have you been doing this?
This is my 4th year. So, and I've always been at the Valley View School District, right now working with a variety of kids. So multi-needs, going all the way from kiddos like Jeremiah, all the way up to, you know, kids that maybe were working on stuttering or different types of speech sounds. So it's really cool in this job to be able to work with a wide variety of kids. Jeremiah's loving
He's having a great time in the studio here, and I'm just loving watching him. He's just, you know, he likes microphones, you said. There are a lot of them here.
To press this on button.
I know. And he figured it out
right away. Yes. We have a lot of adults here, and they're just sort of sitting there. But Jeremiah zones right into what he needs to do technologically, and he does it. And that's pretty cool. But I guess the thing is, I mean, there's so much more hope for parents of autistic children to live these lives where they can learn so much and develop so much more than ever thought before.
Yes. Yeah.
You're seeing that all the time.
And it's definitely rewarding.
Yeah.
to literally be able to give kids a voice is a very cool thing.
Yeah, I bet. I bet, Kristen, you're doing amazing work. Mikhail, this is exciting for you, too.
It's very exciting. And it's I'm kind of speechless about it because you never realize how much you're encouraging someone else until you put your own story out. And you get messages saying, you know, I'm so hopeful. My child has autism. And, you know, you would never know. People, you know, a lot of people don't, or we're still not comfortable with accepting it ourselves. But just to know that you have that small community or small network and you can have someone that you can reach out to and say, you know, this gave me hope or inspiration. And you can let them know, like, hey, I understand what you're going through. But, you know, there is a bright side to certain things. And just seeing him talk and try to form sentences now, just to think like where he can be 4 years from now, 6 years from now, 10 years from now. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Especially you thought you weren't sure if he would ever be able to talk.
I didn't know. We didn't know. I when he started saying mommy, it just brought tears to my eyes. Now it's mommy, mommy, mommy. And like last night, he wanted to put a train set together and he said, mommy, help me. I mean, what do? I have to stop and help him.
You have such a positive way about you. I'm just meeting you for the first time. We talked over the phone earlier, but you have a very positive way. Do you think that's part of it, that constant positivity and the encouragement, the way that you felt so much hope inside of you?
You know what? I wish I could say it was me, but I mean, look at this face.
He's incredible.
Like, it's him. It's all him. He gives me the positivity. It's in him. Even when he's doing something that he's not supposed to be doing, like right now.
Right now, he loves the microphones and he's figured out all the buttons.
Right.
We're going to have Jeremiah over here running the board in a second. He's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy to meet you. I'm so happy about the hope that you've provided for other people going through this too. And you've heard from a number of people, you said.
I have.
When you win a national award like this, it puts things on the radar. And are you reaching out and connecting with other parents with children with autism?
I mean, it's definitely putting me in that mindset where you know, I feel like now maybe I can be a piece of the puzzle. To the bigger picture, I would always say that I'm his voice, he's my heart, but now he's using his own voice to touch other people's hearts. And that just makes me feel so good.
That is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. We're going to get Jeremiah over here in the break to run the board a little bit, see what he can do, see what he can figure out, because he's a remarkable boy. It's so nice to meet him. It's nice to meet you, Mikhail. And Kristen Anderson, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Really cool to meet you as well, and exciting stuff. So thanks for making time for us and sharing your story. Appreciate it. Bye, Jeremiah. Nice to see you. Back with more here on WGN Radio in a moment. Jeremiah's amazing little fella, isn't he? 618. Jeremiah, an amazing story. He's adorable. Fascinating to hear how these problems have been identified and worked out. And congrats to him for his award win. Yeah, really, really cool to meet them. And I was so grateful they decided to come in when I saw his story. I just thought, wow, a lot of families might be able to connect with this. And really, really just cool of them to come by and share what he's doing, and amazing what they're doing at that school too. How about that? 847, we're talking about Girl Scouts before. I was a Girl Scout for almost 18 years, love selling the cookies, and there are many lessons learned from it, including making change, record keeping, work ethic. When I was in fourth grade, the prize for selling the most cookies was a 2-week trip to a camp in Wisconsin. I wanted to go so badly, but I knew our family couldn't afford it. So I took orders door to door every day, sold over 200 boxes that day, and won the trip. See? Life lessons. Very cool. Thanks for sharing that story as well. We've got MJ Gottlieb on the phone here, and let me tell you about something here, why we're talking. About Lucid. Lucid is the name of the company founded by MJ. And maybe you've heard of Dry January, when people take a month away from alcohol. Or maybe you've heard a lot about mocktails lately, kind of a trend. Even the trendy restaurants that make these drinks, and a lot of not so trendy restaurants too, just drinks without alcohol that are super tasty. But what about the growing number of people who are wanting to go out and socialize without alcohol? Number of sober curious groups for a variety of reasons. People are attracted to these. And MJ Gottlieb has created an app called Lucid to connect people here in Chicago and really everywhere. We'll ask them about it. To connect you, if you want to find places to go and things to do that are alcohol-free. Hey, MJ, thanks for being on WGN.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so you came up with this idea for the app. What was did you have any personal background or personal reason to do that, or you just sort of saw a need here?
No, I did. I did. I was trying to get sober for so many years, and I would find myself invariably in diners and coffee shops. And I said, if this is all there is, I'm just going to continue to drink, which I invariably did for the next, about 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and then you also have the situation where people are battling with addiction, they're battling with drinking and alcohol,
right.
And then you have their friends who try to wonder, well, what do we do? Now, we all want to go out and socialize, we all want to go and hang out, and do we include alcohol or do we not? What's your answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that and to be clear, Lucid is all-inclusive, so it's whether you're in recovery or you're sober curious or sober for other reasons. I think it's really important, for people, who, if they really think, hey, what are the possibilities if I were to be able to actually go out and not have a social lubricant, what would that look like, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where we have this incredible trend, I hate to call it a trend, in people who are not drinking, and restaurants are realizing that upwards of 30% of their patrons don't drink, which is such an important reason why restaurants need to have mocktail or zero proof offerings in their menus.
Yeah, well, we've got several meetup groups. There have been some coverage of them here in the Chicago area where they're sober curious, and not everyone is battling addiction, as you point out. Some of them are just sort of trying to figure out, like, hey, let's hang out and not involve alcohol. I don't like the way I feel the next day, or I don't know, maybe health or diet reasons, that kind of thing. And so they're finding each other, and your app helps people find each other who want to go to, who are interested in this lifestyle or already part of it, I suppose. What can you do when you go to the app?
So we just launched the Booze List Guides, which is a section of our app where you can find all the restaurants across America that serve mocktails. You can non-alcoholic events, trips around the world that don't serve booze. We also have sober dating, sober groups, as well as hotlines, for those people who are in recovery and need a little bit of help to be walked off the ledge. So it's think of it kind of as a sober Facebook, for lack of a better example.
Yeah, and I guess people can help each other, too. What works for them, what recovery work that they did, or rehab, I guess, facilities even. Are people talking with each other in socializing in that Facebook kind of way?
Yeah, I mean, to date, there's been over 600,000 messages on the platform. So it's all about connection and engagement and to show people that you're not alone. There's a saying, those amongst us, no explanation is necessary. Those not amongst us, no explanation is possible. So when you get this affinity group, whether you're in recovery or not in recovery, but you're just sober, there's a magic that happens when people talk and they're like, oh, wow, I have close to 100 million other people who share exactly what I share, right? So that's the reason why we created Lucid. Again, it comes down to, I didn't have the benefit of the sober curious movement, right, which is so important. So, we really didn't have the ability to ask questions to see if we had a problem. And so all the people that were trying to help me, their intentions, they had such great intentions, but nothing's going to help somebody who needs help other than someone else who really can identify with that situation, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all about connecting and engaging, and especially in the Lucid groups, there's affinity groups within affinity groups. So it could be the LGBTQ, sober, whatever, right? So you have affinity groups within an affinity groups. So you have people really talking and getting very granular. And those types of conversations are really picking up in the platform on a daily basis.
as you look at who's using it so far, how would you break it down? The people who might be interested in the health part of it. I know a lot of people don't drink or drink very little because they're concerned about health. There's a sort of lifestyle that you pointed out.
Sure.
People just sort of want to hang out and socialize without, you know, kind of feeling that way the next day or feeling out of it. And then the people battling addiction. Like, how would you, when you look at who's there, what would you say, how would you break it down?
Well, to date, about 78% of the people have toggled their recovery tools on. So if you're not in recovery, you could just toggle the recovery tools off, and all recovery elements disappear, and it's just a sober app or an app for those people who have some level of curiosity about being sober, even for a day or for a week. So thus far, you know, it is skewing more toward recovery, but, you know, 32% who are not, it's still a very large number.
Do you recommend the friends of people who are going through, who are in recovery, join as well as a sort of a support nature to that?
Oh, without question, because for an addict, I'm a recovered alcoholic, an addict. It's a life or death situation, right? Mm-hmm. So for years, I just thought it was about white knuckling it and just staying away from, because I live in Manhattan, there's a thousand bars around me, right? Mm-hmm. And Chicago, the same thing. With Lucid, it's an experiential platform. So it's all about leaning in. Let's get out there and show, and let's go to bars that serve mocktails. Let's go to these fun events like Daybreaker. Let's go to all of these amazing venues and experiences that just people like me never knew existed. You know, when I was getting sober there, like I said, it was just diners and coffee shops.
Right.
And we really need to show people that there's just such amazing things that you know, can be done when choosing to live a sober life.
Yeah, a lot of options, and you're connecting the people to know what options are going on near you. You do it by location, so if someone's in Chicago, they plug in their location, and they can figure out where to go.
Yeah, but in groups, I mean, we have a coffee group that's just people jump in from Idaho to Montana to New York. So the groups aren't location-specific, but if you go into the booze list guides, you put in your location, and you can find an event in your area, or you can find all the restaurants in your area that have mocktail or zero proof offerings, or dating is location specific, so you would set your radius. But for groups and for the hotlines, you know, it doesn't matter where the person's coming from.
All right. The app is called Lucid. That's LOOSID, connecting you with other people who are either battling addiction or want to live, kind of check out the alcohol-free, sober, curious kind of lifestyle. That is the place to go. Lucid, LOOSID, available where all apps are offered. Is that right, MJ?
That is correct.
Thank you for thanks for telling us all about it, and congrats on the app and connecting people in the way you're doing it.
Okay, thanks for having me.
MJ Gottlieb, thank you. We are also going to have much more coming up here on the show, including the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Tell you about that snow that's on the way affecting your commute this afternoon and this evening, and much more. It was Wellness Wednesday with the doctor is in the house, and we'll talk about the flu. Illinois, one of the states hit hardest by the flu this season, but some good news about the vaccine and some latest on the coronavirus. We'll bring us up to date on that as well, coming up here after the top of the hour news. Wellness Wednesday, and the doctor is in the house. Dr. Rahul Kare is here, and we're talking about how the flu is a much bigger deal than the coronavirus, even though the coronavirus does dominate all the headlines. And I get the reasons why. It's because of the extreme measures they're taking, quarantining cruise ships and locking down cities, restricting travel. Lots going on. But in terms of the actual people affected, particularly in the U.S., nowhere close. Dr. Kare is he's an emergency medicine physician. He was at Northwestern. He was a professor, ER physician there, and now opened up his own group of clinics, Innovated Care. That is the banner. And thank you for being here, Dr. Kare. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Is that true? I mean, you think about the coronavirus, these what they're doing to contain it always makes news, and it should. And they seem like they're doing the right things when you quarantine a a cruise ship, that is news, and we care about those kinds of things. But in terms of the people affected, nowhere close to the flu.
That's true. Health-wise, the influenza virus is always something that's pretty big and affects us on a daily basis. We all know people who are not able to go to work, have to stay home from school, so it hits us hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coronavirus or COVID-19.
Yeah, it just got renamed. Yes. Explain today or yesterday. We have
just
a new name.
A few hours ago, the Corona CO, that's the VI is virus, D is disease, and 19 is 2019. So COVID virus is now the new coronavirus, and it is a big deal only because it is going to change our economy. It's going to change things that we, you know, things that we buy in the stores. So it's interesting. So it may affect us in the future.
There aren't just medical implications. It sort of starts, you know, when you restrict travel and you do these kinds of things. And I guess trade could be, you hear it in the business stories all the time.
Right. And most importantly, I think it brings fear to us. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to talk about, you know, it's travel to China, right? It's not just Asian people. It's not travel to other parts of Asia. It's China. They are doing the best they can there. There's the World Health Organization is there for a reason. They're doing a very good job taking the data that's slowly coming from China.
Mm-hmm.
It's a communist country that doesn't give out a lot of data. So this is why there's a lot of fear. But we are trying to do our best to calm people's nerves. But be alert. There are two cases in Illinois already in Chicago. So this is a very important process. And SARS, which is like a cousin, a sister virus of it, was very interesting and frightening at the same time, but was subdued very quickly and did not make a splash like we thought it was.
We've already surpassed the number of people impacted by SARS.
We have more cases than SARS. That just happened a few days ago.
I guess the good news that came out of the recent press conference with the World Health Organization is that they have the number of new cases has declined for a second day in that impacted region. That's a good sign. They're doing a lot to, you know, restrict people's movements, and they're doing a lot to sort of contain this. It seems, is that a good sign that it's working?
It's a great sign. I don't want to see it the other way around. So I'd like to see new cases slow down. But you have to look at incubation periods. You got to look at death rates right now. They are going to go up. Right now, it's 2% of the people who have had the coronavirus die. So that's an important number.
2%, you
said. Yes. Now, remember,
and
SARS,
what is it for the
SARS
flu?
Was 9%, and flu is less than 0.5%.
Oh.
So it's low, but alarming, and something that we need to take into consideration.
Yeah, I guess it seems there's a lot more that needs to be learned about it as well. They're working on a vaccine for it, and then they're linking it to, was it bats? It's inconclusive. They don't know where it started, but there is some sort of concern that it moves from animals to humans.
Yes, that's a theory that, you know, we had swine flu just a few years ago. So we know that this happens and it's transmitted. And yes, they're seeing a large amount of the cases around the marketplace of Wuhan. So there are epidemiologists who study this. This is what they do for a living. And the theories will come out. There's nothing we can do about it, but we got to be careful where we travel. We have to wash our hands, get vaccinated for influenza, and do the regular things that we're normally doing.
I guess that's a good part. It is flu season, and so it's kind of a reminder that when you hear about stories like this, or you hear about stories about the flu, that you should be doing those things, taking those precautions about washing your hands, and if you feel that fever and you feel like you might be sick, don't go to work and don't participate in big activity. It's kind of the same, isn't it? The same preventative measures we take.
Absolutely, with the only exception of don't travel right now because there's a travel ban to China, and that's okay. And we'll hear more as the weeks come out about that.
COVID-19.
You got it.
That's the new name. Okay. No coronavirus, COVID-19. I do want to talk flu with you because Illinois has been particularly hard hit this flu season. What do you know about the numbers and who it's affecting?
Yes. So it actually is a higher number than we've seen in the last 5 years. So this is interesting. There's definitely more in the younger population. The vaccine match rate we're seeing wasn't the greatest in the youngest. We're talking 8-year-olds to 25-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a significant bump in Illinois, and it's affecting schools down south. They're closing schools for it. So it is rampant, and with the colder weather coming in, we're thinking that it might actually happen for a little bit longer. So one of those things, and I think you said it all, is if you have a fever, cough, and cold, you stay home. You wash your hands constantly. If you haven't gotten the flu shot, we highly recommend it. Just the basics and to be careful.
Champaign region hit the hardest. West Chicago region and Cook County also not far behind. Why is it that some areas are impacted so much greater than others? Because I did see some stories from other states saying we've had a great flu season. Not as many people as usual are being impacted. But here we see such high numbers.
Right. It's just sometimes data tracking, to tell you the truth, because there's nothing different between Champaign and Chicago. In fact, it's more dense in Chicago. So you would think that it would get more people. But the truth is, it's all about the same when you take in the margin of errors.
Okay, good to know. That's the flu in the COVID-19, used to be called the coronavirus, but they've changed. Do you know why they changed it?
Well, coronavirus is a group of viruses. So SARS was a coronavirus. So they need to change it to a name that's specifically talking about this new strain.
Okay. All right. We have some other things to talk about here on Wellness Wednesday with Dr. Carre. And we also want to find out about Innovative Care, those clinics that you started. And it's pretty cool what you're doing over there. You're taking what you learned as an emergency physician at Northwestern, and you were a professor for many years, and you've moved into this area where you're trying some innovative treatment. And we want to hear more about that with Dr. Carre. Coming up, Wellness Wednesdays, by the way, is sponsored by Grainberry Cereal. Pick up Grainberry today at your local Jewel Osco. More in a moment. Here we are back with the doctor, Dr. Rahul Carre. He has founded a group of clinics called Innovative Care. We'll get to that in a moment. He is a former Northwestern ER physician and professor there at NU. And now he's moved on to some other things. Pretty exciting stuff. We'll get to that. But, I want to mention this to you because I'm told this could be a life changer for a lot of people, Dr. Carre. The idea that the FDA has now approved this drug for peanut allergies. And tell me what that does and what this means for people who are dealing with peanut allergies.
Well, so far there's been no treatment for peanut allergies. And as you know, we all know, we've seen kids nowadays have significant amount
every
of peanut
classroom, allergies. I think, at my daughter's school.
Every one of them. And it's scary because these aren't just little allergies of the past. These are full-blown anaphylaxis, can't breathe, and highly death-related allergies. So Until now, we didn't know what to do with it. We just said, avoid it. But now there's a new medication that's FDA approved. And they give, basically what it does is it desensitizes you. They give very small amounts and they increase it safely. This is a newly FDA approved medication. So they're still watching it very carefully. But it's very exciting in the world of allergies because there hasn't been any improvements in the last decade.
Yeah, it certainly is. And this isn't something that it doesn't make your peanut allergy better. It steps in if you have a reaction.
Right.
Describe what it does.
So if you do get encountered with peanuts, it will decrease the amount of allergic reaction that you have, which could be life-saving. Because what happens with peanut allergies is once you hit it, like once you taste it or you ingest some peanuts, all of a sudden your tongue and your mouth swell up so much you can't breathe and you can pass away. So this will decrease it to maybe a rash, maybe a little bit of lip swelling, but definitely a lot better reaction than normally.
And so I would imagine that schools and that kind of thing would want to have these on hand at some point. Is that possible, or does it need to have a nurse or a doctor?
Well, interestingly, it's one of those things that you take. It's not an emergency medication.
Oh.
So you take it over a few years. Right, to build up a tolerance. So it's a preventive medication that decreases the symptoms of your allergic reaction.
Got it. Okay. Very, very cool. But it's cool to hear something like that and life changing, as I've heard many parents talk about for if they have kids with peanut allergies or adults too.
Yeah. And I've had a close friend and a patient actually go to California while they were doing the FDA studies to get this. And it's pretty amazing. And
yeah.
I'm really excited to see the new data that's going to come out because I think once this happens for peanuts, there's milk allergies, there's walnut allergies. All of these things can be replicated using this, which for the first time, and in the United States in particular, we've seen skyrocketing number of children having allergic reactions to foods that we normally eat on a daily basis. So this is it's a great step forward in science.
So you have colleagues who have been working on this science, you've been tracking it for some time,
yes.
And it feels like that science potentially could be transferable to other allergies. So it provides hope for anybody with allergies.
Right. I mean, it's for the first time, and I have a son who has anaphylaxis to milk. So this hits me personally. This is the first time we've seen anything in science that have actually going to improve healthcare. So in the world of allergy. So I am so excited to see what comes about.
Is your child extremely like
anaphylaxis? So, yes, has been, you know, soy milk doesn't had to sit at separate tables. You know, when he was in kindergarten, he's 15 now, and he's slowly growing out of it, but he still has anaphylaxis to it, so it's still scary.
So they can grow out of these allergies. You do see that?
Yes, for milk, for peanuts, it very rarely happens. But with this new medication, they can desensitize to an amount where it's just a rash when they have it, which would be wonderful.
It would be. Great to understand a little more about that. I saw those headlines, and I had heard from some other parents at school saying that they were excited that this had happened.
Yes.
But very cool to learn that there might be other sorts of applications to what they're learning and what's happening. So you think some new data will come out?
Oh, for sure. I mean, right now it's in the first stages of FDA. It's approved. However, they're very cautious because they're giving an allergen to a patient that has an anaphylactic allergy to it. So they have to be very cautious in how they dose this. But as soon as they get more and more data, they can take this and do it with other allergens such as dairy and walnuts and things like that, which will be very important to many people.
How about that? That's incredible. More to come on that particular issue. Hey, I want to ask you about this, Dr. Carre, because it's been in the news. You've seen two prominent celebrities within about the last week come forward to talk about having stage 4 cancer. We saw Shannon Doherty of Beverly Hills 90210 fame just come out in a very candid, heartbreaking interview and talk about how she's got stage 4 breast cancer. She had battled it already in the past. It's come back, and she's fighting through it. And then we heard about Rush Limbaugh, advanced lung cancer. We saw him at the State of the Union. He got the Medal of Freedom from the president, and that was going on. And I want the question is stage 4 cancer. What does that mean in the medical community today? Because I imagine things have changed from what it used to mean to what it means today.
Right. Basically, stage 4 really means that it is outside of the original organ that it originated from. And not only just outside, but fully outside and in different organs. So it means it has spread. And there are cancers that are notorious where even if you have stage 4, you can live for a good amount of time. But for 95 to 99% of cancers, when you have stage 4, the mortality rate, the rate that you may die is within 5 years is very high, 90% plus. So it is scary. And it's the one thing you don't want to hear is I have stage 4 cancer. That means usually 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, but not much more than that in general.
Generally, so they'd be beating the odds in a big way to go beyond that. Not that you can't, but, you know, and then we also, I should say, Alex Trebek was another person who came out and talked about his pancreatic cancer.
Correct.
Some of those worse than others, lung, breast, or pancreatic, or all once they get to be stage 4, you're talking about outside of that original.
Those
area.
Three in particular are highly deadly. So those are some of the worst to have because there's so much vasculature around it. So once you do find it, that it spreads fairly quickly. So those are scary ones for sure.
Yeah, that and very sad to see them and talk. They talked about it openly, with always raises awareness, but it's nonetheless incredibly difficult for them and their families. So
yes,
hearts go out to them at this time. I want to ask you about what you've done here now. So you were an ER physician and a professor at Northwestern, and you were working in that field for some time. And then you sort of took my understanding what you learned there, and you started this new group of clinics called Innovative Care.
Correct.
What are you doing that's different over there? What are you doing that's the same, I suppose?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, Northwestern was great. I had 12 years there. I actually had NIH funding there to study how people get their health care and what they like about it, patient satisfaction, and how to give quality health care. So I took a lot of the research that I had, and I wanted to push technology on health care. We're very notorious for not we're not technology friendly, right? You know, you go to the doctors, they give you a clipboard, and who knows where that information is going. It definitely isn't going to the doctor because they ask you the same question.
They do. That was just for repetition.
But. Yeah. No. I mean, so what I wanted to do is be very, you know, use telemedicine. So what if you have a refill on medication? You don't want to come in, but you have to talk to the doctor. They have to understand how you're doing on it. But can you do that through telemedicine? Can you do that at work? Things like online check-in. If you want to make an appointment, you're really sick at 11 p.m., you can't call your doctor most of the time. You want to go see them. Well, you can go online and make an appointment for 8 a.m., and then you can feel secure that you'll get to the doctor in a timely fashion. Those little things we've incorporated. But not only that,
it takes some of the stress and the hassle out of healthcare, and there's a lot of that for sure.
Right, and not only that, you know, not being part of a big institution, not being part of a hospital, I can use things like medical cannabis, where I understand why hospitals want to stay away from it, right? It's not a federally legal drug, but mm-hmm. state-wise, very legal. And so there's this mismatch. And of course, hospitals get a lot of money from Medicare and the federal government. So they don't want to upset the government. So they stay away from it. For me, I want to use that as a medication for things like ketamine, another non-FDA approved medication. I can give that for severe depression and see that, you know, how well it's working for my patients. I want to educate them and do these things that a lot of health centers don't feel comfortable doing. So we have developed a ketamine center, a medical cannabis certification and consultation center, obviously a primary care, urgent care, and med spa. So we are trying to push the envelope in healthcare, give high technology, high touch to our patient population, and take insurance for most all
so
of those things.
You're a big believer in the medical marijuana, medical cannabis, that is helping in health applications.
I have seen so many patients where I've decreased the amount of benzodiazepines and opiates that they're on. We've improved their quality of life. I would much rather, as a physician, have someone use cannabis, a couple puffs of cannabis or an edible at nighttime than an Ambien or a benzodiazepine, which are highly addictive and very tough on the body. So I believe in plant medicine, and I think that the lowest dose of any medication that works is the best dosage. So even if it's cannabis, I want my patients using it sparingly. Mm-hmm. But same with ibuprofen and Tylenol, right? Because even though they're legal, doesn't mean they're good for the body, right?
Right. Can you explain something for me, doctor? Why has there been this huge increase in the number of people applying for the medical cannabis cards in Illinois? Does it come down to how much it costs inside the dispensers? Is there a cost issue? What's going on there?
Right. Well,
because anyone over 21 can get recreational marijuana.
Correct.
But people are going to apply for the medical licenses in big numbers since it was legalized.
Huge numbers. We've doubled, almost doubled our numbers of certification since legalization, which doesn't make sense. We were really worried that we wouldn't see any patients. Well, there are a couple big reasons. Number one is that legally people are trying cannabis, and you can imagine the 65-year-olds are coming in and they said, my goodness, I slept well and my knee feels so much better. So they're seeing that, wow, it's medically working for me. So that's number one. And then the state made it so that's up to 30, maybe 40% tax. So that's a significant amount of tax.
Sure.
That, you know, that now they're having shortages for recreational medical cannabis, so recreational cannabis. And then thirdly, you can grow your own. So they made it so if you get certified, it would cost less. They won't run out. But number one reason is that people are using it and they're saying, Mike, this is helping me medically. Why don't I get a card? Because it's working. It's working.
It's totally working. Dr. Rahul Kare is his name. He's the founder of Innovative Care, emergency physician by training, and we appreciate you weighing in on all this stuff for us and that allergy stuff. Really pretty cool, very promising.
It's an exciting time in healthcare, a little bit scary, but you know, I'm glad that I could come on here and talk about
it. Glad you were here too. Thanks, Dr. Kare. More to come here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. All right, 2:33 here in studio, Davine Joy Randolph. She is an actress. She's a performer. She's a singer. She was nominated for a Tony. And get this, she was also in the critically acclaimed Dolomite Is My Name, starring with Eddie Murphy. She was just on Jimmy Kimmel to talk about that, and let's hear a little clip of that.
You're great in the movie, in Dolomite.
Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed that. And working with Eddie Murphy has to be, I mean, anybody's dream, right, as an actor?
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Eddie is...
Had you met Eddie? Did you know him before you did the movie?
No. So when I got the audition, it was just like untitled, no script, just sides. Mm-hmm. And then I did like 5 callbacks. And then the first time I met Eddie was on the first day of work. So I was like, hello.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like that, Davine. Was that pretty fun to get to talk to Eddie Murphy and work alongside someone like that?
It was really, really amazing. An amazing opportunity. And he truly was just so, and is, so kind and generous. And he doesn't have to be. You know, when you're at that level, you could very much so do your job, thank you, and keep it moving. And he, from the beginning, was very inclusive and kind and generous with me, with his time and his talent.
Yeah, I bet that's got to be a great experience as someone in that field to just be have exposure to someone like that. But now you're here for the Chicago Humanities Festival, so let's talk about what's happening new for you. And High Fidelity, it's being remade.
Yes.
And you're in it. And the star of the whole thing is Zoe Kravitz.
Yes.
You got a great cast.
Uh-huh.
You excited? This is going to be dropping when?
On Valentine's Day. Yep.
This Friday.
Yeah.
They split up into 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What can you tell us about it? Because this is a remake of something that was famously set in Chicago, High Fidelity,
right,
with John
yes.
Cusack.
Right. The book is written and based in London, and then the movie was done here in Chicago, and then now our TV series is done in New York, specifically Brooklyn, Crown Heights area. And, you know, it's following similar principles and themes of the show. I would say the movie, within the movie, we spread out through the 10 episodes, moments, iconic moments and stuff like that, and put them into the series. But the concept's still the same. The biggest change is that instead of two white guys, you have two women of color, which is really, really cool. And also just showing it through a female lens. You know, and how ironically it still applies, and it's you know, it's still the same.
So you still had, so John Cusack was the Chicago guy who was very much into, he owned a record store, and he was very much into his music, but he didn't really connect socially or romantically very well.
Right.
Zoe Kravitz plays that role now.
Yes.
Fast forward, set in Brooklyn. She's a Brooklyn person now.
Right.
With the record store.
Record store, yep. I think we kind of like envisioned that it was that Jack Black's character had the record store and then would essentially like have sold it to her or something like that. But basically, she's at a point in her life in which, you know, she's getting of that age. It's like late 20s, early 30s, you know, where she is trying to like figure out the mystery, if you will, of love. And so she decides to go on this journey in which she's trying to seek her top five breakups, if you will, top five heartbreaks, basically the top five people or relationships that mattered the most to her, that really affected her, and wants to go back and revisit them and also reconnect with those people to have a deeper understanding of what happened and what went wrong. And so ultimately she can, in hopes that she can better herself and then ultimately, you know, learn from those lessons so that then she can hopefully find true love or the one, possibly. And of course, that's a horrible idea.
And where do you come into this, David?
Well, basically, you know, my character is actual local, you know, amongst all this gentrification. So she's born and raised, and we kind of imagine that she just was someone who would frequent the store, and we kind of just hit it off. And so she was like, well, you're here so much, why don't you work here? And so what's interesting and what I like about us, the three of us, it's not like the three best friends. Like, it's real, you know? Uh-huh. There are some times when you do not want to be with your best friend, or they annoy you, or you don't agree with decisions that they make. And I am that real person for her, good, bad, or indifferent, that I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. And if I don't agree, I'm going to tell you about it. Slash also, we are all music heads. My character is an actual musician.
Mm-hmm.
And they tease me. Yes. And they tease me about it because I'm constantly talking about, well, my album and when I do this. And they believe that I'm just like, you know, I don't know, I guess unmotivated, or I'm just all about the talk, but I'm not about it. But what you then realize is she actually is, and she's actually good. And she's just private and vulnerable about her music. But at the same time, while they are sometimes very awkward with each other and they're not really all that in touch with their emotions and feelings, they all very desperately need each other, whether they're willing to admit it or not.
So High Fidelity, I don't know if it was totally a box office smash, but it became such a cult back in the day when John Cusack starred in it. It became such a cult like favorite film.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess it's been particularly people from Chicago because it's set here and that whole thing. And I mean, John Cusack is, you know, from Evanston and he co-wrote it. Initially, when it was announced that this was coming out, he said that he wasn't sure that that should be, would be okay. He was worried about it. Do you think he'll be worried or do you think he'll be happy with the results here?
Well, I hope so. But I, on a certain level, I do understand that it's especially when something is done so well. That's a special moment in time. And I don't know if people, things that are actually really successful, I don't know if people actually know that it's going to be successful. I think it comes through the passion and devotion to the work, that was the thing that ultimately people connect with. So I don't think that's something that can be manufactured. So with that being said, in doing a reboot or a spinoff or a sequel can be tricky because you don't really know how to define, do you know what I mean? Why it was successful. Like you see this, like with Eddie, for example, with doing Coming to America 2, and I believe they're in the works to do Beverly Hills Cop 4, I believe at that point it would be. So it can be tricky, but
you don't always know is what you're saying.
You don't always feel
it when there's sort of a passion amongst the people you're working with.
And I would say with our project, there was definitely a passion for sure, straight across the board, crew, everyone. Everyone was really devoting of their crafts, talents, and services to making this project be the best that it could be, whatever it is. And so I do think and hope that he will respect and enjoy it, dare I say. And at the same time, it's different. So it's not, like I said, we take moments from it, but it's further because it's not another movie, you know, because I think that would be more of not a threat, but like a whole nother can of worms. But this is a series. So it is
10 parts.
Exactly. So that's 5 hours worth of content, basically, that is more in-depth look at this world. And again, we have two female characters now, and it's now set in New York, and it's women of color. You're dealing with themes of gentrification. Like, it's different. It's much more fully realized in 2020, 2019, if you will, as opposed to that. So it's similar yet different enough where I think they can equally be respected and have room for both.
Yeah, it drops on Friday in Hulu, so that's where you find it. High Fidelity, it's called. Davine, Joy Randolph, what would you rather get, an Oscar or a Tony?
See, this
is hard because you're talented.
Always gets me in trouble because I don't ever want the Broadway community, you know, to think like you don't care about us anymore. But
because you were nominated,
I was nominated, and that tripped me out because I was not in any way expecting it or was like, yeah, I'm gonna get this. And even, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard. I mean, obviously, I think many people would say the Oscar because it's just been held up to be the highest acclaim that one can get in acting. But in all respects, so is the Tony, just within the genre of theater. So I'm not really answering your question intentionally because
maybe we'll see you do both.
Yes, I hope so.
Davine Joy Randolph is her name. Watch her. She is involved in so many cool projects, and just life is good right now.
Life is good.
Thank you for sharing yourself with us, and you can check it out. Hulu is the where High Fidelity is going to be shown in 10 parts. All of them together is one of those things you can get all of them. You can stream them. You can hang out with your friends and binge watch this weekend. And the Chicago Humanities Festival, we should mention that as well, is going on. Yes. You're going to be there tonight to show it.
I'm excited.
Thanks, Davine. Enjoy Chicago while you're here. And we've got more coming up here on WGN Radio in Trending Topics. Where to get $20 flights today only. We'll talk about that. Free Ferris wheel rides at Navy Pier. And with NBA All-Star tickets now going well over $1,000 for the Chicago event itself. Where can you take in the atmosphere and rub shoulders with the celebrities for a lot less than that? We'll have it coming up in Trending Topics. 2:45, apparently people saying it's snowing in Beecher, Illinois already, and snowing in St. Charles. It's a coming. We're going to continue.
Winter is coming.
It's coming. Oh, hey, it's
Game of Thrones. I miss it already.
I do too. Hey, did you hear, we're going to get to Trending Topics in a second with Lauren Lapka and Steve Bertrand. Did you hear the Sophie from the movie is pregnant with Joe Jonas?
Yeah, very exciting. Mm-hmm.
That is not a trending story, but it is trending, actually. It's just not in our pile until we just mentioned it just now. First, this. I love my Seattle Sutton's healthy eating. The convenience, it's awesome. Fresh, honest, healthy meals arrive right at your doorstep twice a week. No more shopping, no more cooking, no more cleaning pots and pans. It adds time to your day. And this is the kind of food you should be eating. You know how you grab for the food that's easy and sometimes it's not always the best stuff for you? This stuff is right there. So easy, convenient. You grab it, you heat it up, and go. And the whole family likes it, too. So that's the cool part. It's about implementing a healthy diet, leading to more energy and all kinds of health benefits that go along with that. Just ask Lou Manfredini. He's doing it, too. He's doing the meals from Seattle Sutton. And guess what? When you've been doing it for this many years, it says something. So it's a big deal. The meals are not frozen. They're always fresh, 5-week rotation, and you can get a unique breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for 5 weeks. Plus, new meals being added all the time. Check out their weekly menus. Just go to SeattleSutton.com. Call 1-800-442-DIET, 1-800-442-DIET, or go to SeattleSutton.com. Your good health is their true mission. We were just talking as Steve Bertrand and Lauren Lapka step into the studio here that have you seen the prices for the NBA All-Star?
No.
I went on StubHub just before the show. $1,200 was the cheapest ticket. Isn't that crazy?
It's not even a real game.
I know. People are like, the All-Star game of any sport is a joke. So that amazes me.
It kind of is. So we've got, you know, that's going on. But we do have in our trending topics the things going on around town for a lot less than that, where probably all the celebrities will be going, if you care about that, or just some fun ways to take in whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm. Were you talking about the Jonas Brothers baby?
Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers collectively, it is their baby.
Well, I think maybe I'm the only one in the room who's actually seen the Jonas Brothers in concert.
No way.
How about that?
Yeah.
Were they good? Surprised?
Oh, huge fan.
You went with your kids.
I took like 3 12-year-old girls.
Oh, no. That sounds like a nightmare.
They opened for Miley Cyrus back in her Hannah Montana days.
Oh, gosh. That sounds like a great combo. Jonas Brothers and Miley?
Yeah. It was so much fun. I had no idea who the Jonas Brothers were.
You're like, I'm going. This is what we do for our kids. Well, remember this song, speaking of songs from like 10 years ago or more?
7 a.m. waking up in the morning. Gotta be fresh, gotta go downstairs. Gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal. Seeing everything, the time is going.
Let's hear it.
On and on, everybody's rushing. Gotta get down to the
I feel like I should know this.
Friday.
Oh,
she hasn't said it yet. That's why it was Friday. There it is. Friday. Okay.
I do remember.
Remember Rebecca Black? First it was a hit, and then it was like people just like, ooh. Well, she has come out to talk about how she went through so many emotions during that time because everybody sort of, she was 13 at the time. And you think about how much play that got and that she just kind of felt a lot of, all the criticism got to her, and it messed with her head and everything, and she said it kind of turned into bullying. So now, it's just surprising that those things do happen.
Was that a real song, or was that something she did on YouTube and took off? Do you remember?
It was a YouTube hit that she sort of did kind of on her own, and then it went viral, and then it became dubbed like the worst song, and everyone, it's the one you can't get out of your head that you want to get out of your head.
It's kind of mean to say, but it really was one
it
of the worst
songs. It wasn't a great song.
That came out when I was in college, and I remember just always playing, and it
really?
Was like, oh, but because it was a joke. It was something to kind of laugh about, but I don't know. Well,
she's moved on. She's moved on from it. I don't mean to be making me feel bad, but she's been coming out to talk about how she got through all that and that she got to meet Katy Perry and so many others who came to give her opportunities because of what happened and, how she dealt with all the online comments and stuff, which got pretty brutal. So that's out there. Peapod, you've been talking about this, Steve, in the news. Shutting down its grocery delivery in the Midwest, and they're here. They're based here.
And they started here in 1989, and I haven't seen a good explanation yet, other than that a lot of stores now are delivering their own products, right? I think Walmart does, Whole Foods does, but...
Well, and Amazon with two-hour grocery delivery.
Is that right?
It's insane.
Amazon will do that?
That's what they've been putting on commercials, for a while. At least I've noticed the past few weeks.
I haven't done it.
My mother-in-law doesn't get out. She's in assisted living, and, she really relies on Peapod. So it was a bit of a crisis in our house last night.
I know people who worked for them over the years, too, and liked working right. there. They had good jobs. And then you've got Instacart, too. Even Jewel is doing delivery now. Everybody's getting into this game, and you just think...
So then what's the point that the Peapod became the middleman, and they couldn't afford to stay in it? I mean, I
because
guess
they're not. Yeah,
because they're not selling their own product.
That's the thing, because you think about Amazon buying Whole Foods, they actually own the product.
Or Jewel
now.
Selling their own
Jewel
chicken.
Selling
or
their own. Yeah, so that's disappointing, but that's happening. Navy Pier offering 2,000 free, sorry, let me get this right, 2,020 free Ferris wheel rides on Thursday to celebrate, I guess, Valentine's Day and the NBA All-Star Game, giving away free rides to 2,020 lucky guests.
Yeah, you want to go up there when it's like 1 degree?
It's going to be a rough weekend for that.
Hopefully it'll be windy.
Couldn't even pay people. Don't they have them enclosed, though? Now they're
Enclosed. Well, I shouldn't say. I've never been on it, but I'm pretty sure they're enclosed.
I've been on the new one. It's air-conditioned and heated. You're good.
Whoa.
Oh. So, there you go. Thanks, Kim. Very important information. So now we understand a little more. All right, so a lot going on. Well, Gary, did you hear about this? 311 services there in Gary, Indiana. So they have, just like Chicago, they've got 311 for those minor things you want to call the city, except that when you call 311 in Gary right now, people are getting a message that says, welcome to Verizon Wireless. We're unable to complete your call.
Oh, no.
So that's not working out for them. They're working on fixing that. And that's the thing. There's a new high-tech fix on the way for people who love ice cream. You ever go to the store, like the fast food place, and the ice cream maker's not working?
McDonald's?
McDonald's, for instance.
Always. Every time. I swear. Every time I've gone.
It seems like it's always the case.
Yes.
Right? Well, I guess they're hard to clean, and employees, you know, you got to make sure it's clean because that can be bad for everybody involved. But now they've come up with a high-tech upgrade to the ice cream machines for fast food restaurants, and it's being installed so that it makes them easier to maintain and they'll be more available.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm not a big guy. When's the last time you had ice cream, Anna?
The soft serve? I probably had it. Oh, ice cream period? For sure. I do it all summer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Last week.
With young kids,
week,
you go around.
I'm a big...
Yeah.
Anna knows this very well. Most people that know me pretty well know I have a big sweet tooth, so... I'll have some form of dessert usually.
Even in the winter, will you do ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I will too. No problem. I have no problem with it. I like the ice cream. Then we've got the Nintendo Switch Lounge pop-up coming to Chicago's O'Hare Airport for the next month and a half. You can check it out. They've got Nintendo products. You can play some games right there in Concourse B between gates B12 and B14.
Oh, I wonder what kind of systems. Is it just like... the Switch, or is it going to be old school Nintendo 64 or GameCube?
You go,
I think,
deep
was
on this.
Or no,
how about that? Yeah, I'm just thinking it sounds like a vitamin complex between B12
I think
and
I take that vitamin.
B14.
I think that's in my multi. That's in my multivitamin. It just says it's going to feature games like Legend of Zelda, Mario, Super Mario, all
Mario
those.
Kart?
Tetris. See, that's my day. I like Yeah, Mario Kart, too.
Nice.
So you can check that out if you're in the Concourse B. Then how about this? The $50 million Amazon is shelling out to buy the former Old Chicago Amusement Park.
I want to go to Old Chicago.
Yeah.
Remember
Old
that?
Chicago. I do. I was really young, but it was so special, wasn't it?
Lauren, it was the world's only, but it was the only indoor amusement park.
What?
In Bolingbrook.
See? And it kind of predated that whole thing when malls had to go experiential. They were sort of, that's what they were.
Good Old Chicago. I don't know if I ever went, actually, but because I lived down around there, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was a thing. It was only open for about 5-6 years, but closed in 19 in the 80s. JetBlue is offering $20 flights to celebrate his 20th birthday, and it's going fast. I guess by the end of today, by midnight tonight, you have to buy those tickets. There are some restrictions like Tuesday and Wednesday travel for the lowest of the low prices, but they're celebrating their 20 years by saying you get $20 one-way flights. Still really cheap. Really cheap if you want to go
somewhere.
Probably
the cheapest flight I've ever heard of.
Yeah, really? $20? Can you imagine?
I'm just wondering, so are you like sitting in the very last row in the center seat at 3 a.m?
Could be, but for $20, you can't be too choosy. So yeah, you can't, there are no cancellations and there are restrictions, but you know, look, I think even the ones that are higher than that are going to be pretty cheap right now. They've got quite a deal going.
And definitely snowing in Chicago now. I just saw over your shoulder.
Yeah, you know, the flurries have started to hit us here. We have people telling us on the text line here, flurries are in Schaumburg and also in Wheaton.
I just love that. That will never go away.
What?
People reporting
the
weather.
They like it.
I know.
Thanks. Don't discourage. We like to know when it's coming in.
I'm not discouraging at all. I just think it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. And it's coming. So we'll continue to track that for you top and bottom of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll keep you posted on the weather and check in with Rokan, see what he's got coming up on his show at 3 o'clock. 2:59 here on WGN. Thanks for your text. Snowing in Wheaton. It is snowing in Schaumburg. It is snowing all kinds of in DeKalb. Visibility has dropped very quickly. That's something to keep in mind as you're out on the road. Snowing in Sandwich and Palos Heights. We're starting to see the flurries down here outside our studios here, the Skyline Studios at Columbus and Wacker Drive here at WGN. So be careful out there. We'll continue to keep you posted on all things about the weather that is moving in right here during the evening and afternoon commute. So that more on that, more on the weather coming up on the Rokan Show from 3 to 7. And also, Lauren, someone who is agreeing with you and me, I could eat ice cream all winter long.
Yeah, right? There are so many flavors, they make it easy.
Planning on stopping for frozen yogurt on the way home in the snow, so be careful out there, but it sounds like a good idea.